of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to Wednesday in beautiful Brevard County, Florida, and we want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's modern worship. And we are into that time of year where it is highly possible that you could need your heater functioning of a morning and open the windows of an afternoon, and by late afternoon you need the air conditioner. So if you have an air conditioning system or a heating system, maybe you're new to the area. I know I get a lot of things that I read on Facebook for people who are new to the area, and you're listening to this program. I want to recommend that you call the folks at Weirich Air, W-E-I-R-I-C-H, Air. They are based in Rockledge, Florida, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538, where they have been providing professional sales services and repairs for people with air conditioning problems, heating issues, as well as solving electrical problems for over four decades now. They work in residential settings. They also work in light commercial settings. They work in pastors' houses. They work in churches. They even provide emergency service when necessary, and they'll always strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So before you find yourself in need of their services, write this number down, 321-632-9538, so that if you need them, when you need them, you can call them at 321-632-9538. Two things I really want to have, you know, yesterday we were talking about being unequally yoked with together with unbelievers, and what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, or what shared participation has people abiding by God's law and people who are living outside of God's law. There are two areas that I really believe everyone should have. I believe that they need a righteous mechanic, and I believe that they need a righteous air conditioning and heating person. Those are two things that, you know, automobiles have become so complex. You need somebody who can fix your car, who will do it right the first time at an affordable price. And air conditioning systems are the same way. And the folks at Weirich Air come with a very high recommendation from me, and I encourage you to give them a call at 321-632-9538. So, tonight we will be meeting for our Fire Bible Discipleship class, and we would love to have you come and be a part of that. We have youth ministry that takes place at 7 o'clock as well. All of those things are designed, and, you know, they use the Fire Bible as well. It's a study Bible. There was a gentleman one time, he talked to his pastor, and he said, "Are you sure that Bob Arthurs isn't, you know, Baptist? Because on the radio, he's really anchored in the Word." And that's what we're looking to develop at Merritt Assembly of God. If we abide in Christ, the fruit of the Spirit is going to manifest in our lives. There are going to be souls that are saved. There are going to be signs and wonders that take place. And so we are looking to develop disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And we'd like, listen, if you haven't been to any of the classes so far, you can still come and join in at any given point in time. It's not like college where, you know, there's a deadline if you happen to miss. These things are on a rotating basis. So wherever you come in, you just pick up and you begin the journey right there. Tonight at 7 o'clock, we would love for you to come and grow with us as we grow in our understanding of the Word of God. So to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 we go. It says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness, and what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty." So yesterday, we were talking about what shared participation or what fellowship have people who are abiding in a right relationship with the Word of God, the law of God. What do those people have that they could fellowship or have shared participation with people who want to completely disregard the Word of God and they want to operate in a realm of lawlessness? And the answer is none. Okay? If you don't believe the answer is none there, then the questions that continue on down through this passage should give you added clarity to the fact that it truly is incompatible. You know, we want things to be compatible. So the next question is this. So this is in verse number 14. And what communion has light with darkness? And what communion has light with darkness? So my wife, she was speaking at their women's Christmas party event back in, you know, the first third of December. And she had titled that "A December to Remember," and she encouraged people to bring a gift that they could give to someone, as well as why that gift was something that they remembered, and it would make it meaningful to to whoever received the gift. And when she came home, she was so excited, not because of the extravagance of the gifts, but because of the reality that the people understood what she was trying to get across. And one of the gifts, I don't remember the second component, so please forgive me there, but in this this vessel was a little battery-operated tea light. LED light. And the person who brought the gift said, "In this world that is growing increasingly dark, I just want to remember that a little light can make a huge difference." And she was so excited. There was a couple of others, but the one about light and darkness. You see, if you find yourself in a situation where there is no light whatsoever, in the book of Jude, it talks about demonic creatures that are kept by God, separated from mankind because of a grievous sin that they committed that was so bad in God's sight that they are kept in the darkest of darkness, the blackest of blackness. I mean, there is no illumination going on in that place whatsoever. And, if you found yourself in a room to where there is no light, and all of a sudden a light comes on, a little bitty, I mean, it might be a nightlight, but it gives you enough to be able to journey from wherever you are in darkness to, you can use that light to find yourself to either the light switch to the room, or wherever you might be headed, to the closet or whatever. And hopefully you don't get an assist from your pinky toe finding the bed frame or some other chair or anything like that. Hopefully you make that journey without any pain in your life. And so that was thrown in there just for a little bit of humor's sake, because that's what I do. So what communion has light with darkness? And the answer is there is none. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 14, it says this: the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So that's the type of communion that we are to have. We are supposed to have communion with God, the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to have communion with the saints. We're supposed to celebrate communion, or some people call it the Eucharist, that we would do that until the return of the Lord. We do show forth the Lord's death until he comes. There's a partnership there. There's a participation. There's a fellowship there that we have with the broken body, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and communion with the Holy Spirit, that we can be reconciled in relationship so that we can commune with the Father as well. So to the believers, he asked this question, and it started off telling them, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And he gives the reasons why. Because there should be no shared participation. There cannot be shared participation between people abiding by the law and people operating outside of the law. And there cannot be a peaceful coexistence in the same space at the same time of light and darkness. Light comes on and darkness flees. Darkness is simply a manifestation that takes place when there is an absence of light. It's an absence of light. So several years ago, we just celebrated our 30th anniversary back in December, when our church, when we'd been there for 20 years, our church gave us cards and stuff like that. And they said, we want you to go on a week-long cruise. And I said, okay, well, you need to understand the dynamics that are going on with our schedule. It may take us a while before we get to do that. And so it's about 3 years, and we finally did that. We went on a cruise, and one night we were setting up on the deck of the cruise ship, all the way at the back of the ship. So any lighting that was going on was towards the front of the ship, and we were looking out at the ocean where we had been. And when we got up there, it was just beginning to be nightfall. And before long, the light of the sun had disappeared, and we began to see a multitude of stars in the sky that, even though you could look in that direction from central Brevard County, you would never see them from Brevard County, because their light would have been blotted out by other ambient light from the community that we live in. And so when it was extremely dark and there was nothing competing with that light, all of a sudden you could see the light of stars that were tremendous distances away. When those light particles emitted, you know, I had not even been, you know, taken my first breath yet. It took that light a long time to get from where it was to where it is. Some of it were planets reflecting the light of the sun, the moon reflecting the light that it has from the sun. And it really showed you, you know, what a dichotomy there is between light and darkness. One night I was watching a documentary, and they were talking about a place, I believe it was, well, I know it was in South America. I believe it was in Chile. I could be wrong about that. But there's a certain salt flat, I believe it is, that's there, and they get some occasional rains down there, and the water just kind of sits on there, and it becomes a very flat, very glassy surface, and photographers go out and they use the reflection that they see in the water. So they don't aim their cameras up into the sky. They actually aim their cameras down onto the water, which is serving as a mirror. And you know what stands out? The light. The light. We are living in a day and time where the word compromise is being pushed upon the church. And it's, you know, the pressure is for us to compromise the light of Jesus Christ and blend it with the darkness of the world around us. I can tell you, in the history of mankind, no revival has ever come from that type of approach. Revival comes when the darkness gets so bad that the people have said, I can't see anything. I don't have any revelation. I don't have any illumination. I don't have any direction in my life. And so the first thing that they do is they look for people who've refused to blend in with the darkness. There isn't any communion between lightness and darkness. Listen, we celebrate communion. We celebrate it every month. We celebrate it at Christmas time, and we celebrate it at weddings. We celebrate it as much as you want. You could celebrate communion every day of the week if you wanted to. There are, you know, we've got some stories that we've heard through the years of people who, you know, I know pastors that they don't go to the pulpit until they've celebrated communion in their office before they go to the pulpit. So you want there to be communion between you and the one who said, let there be light. You don't want there to be communion between yourself and the one who thrives in darkness. Verse number 15, and what accord, so we've heard the word fellowship, we've heard the word communion. Now in verse number 15, we add another word, and that is, and what accord has Christ with Belial? This word accord is the word from which we get symphony. A symphony is not a collection of instruments that are all playing the same note. They are a collection of instruments that are all playing their appropriate melody so that everything works together to produce a beautiful harmony of sound. And if there's any music people who are listening and I did not use the appropriate technical term. Please forgive me. I can play a CD player as long as it's not too complicated. So I asked a friend one time. I said, I heard this term. I've never heard it before. What does this word mean? And it was the word cacophony. And he said, it's the opposite of symphony. It is a bunch of musical instruments who are all doing their own thing, and there is no united purpose. You know, it would be kind of like a sound check or an instrument tuning session that is going on. People are ignoring everything else that is going on around them. They're all just doing their own thing. Sometimes I wonder if there's not more of a cacophony in the body of Christ, not because that's what God's will is, than there is more of a symphony. You and I are to operate in one accord. So down the street from Merritt Assembly of God is River of Life Assembly of God. We're about, you know, 2.5 miles miles apart. Both of us have been the senior pastors of our respective congregations for over 30 years now. He was on staff at his church before he became the senior pastor, and I didn't even know Merritt Assembly of God existed until I got there. Our churches didn't play, you know, I think of the line from Toy Story, so play nice, you know. Our churches didn't necessarily play nice together all the time before we got there. Well, he and I were friends. We were both youth pastors before we were pastors. And so we intentionally set out to make sure that our churches were not part of the problem. They were part of the solution. In Ezekiel chapter 37, I'm going to turn back there. If I tell you Ezekiel 37, you are going to think of the first part of Ezekiel chapter 37, because it has to do with the Valley of Dry Bones, and everybody's heard sermons about the Valley of Dry Bones. And I want you to know, I'm very thankful for that portion of Scripture, but that is only through the first 14 verses. In verse number 15 of Ezekiel 37, it says, again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, as for you, son of man, take a stick for yourself and write on it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions, then take another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. Then join them one to another for yourself into one stick, and they will become one in your hand. And when the children of your people speak to you, saying, will you not show us what you mean by these? Say to them, thus says the Lord, surely I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel and his companions, and I will join them with it, with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they will be one in my hand, and the sticks on which you write will be in your hand before their eyes. And Pastor Bernie and I, we've operated for decades now with that philosophy. We've got two distinct congregations. But we are not in competition with one another. We are not in competition with any other Bible preaching church in Central Brevard County. We function as a united tool in God's hand. So God's got a great big hand. So there's a section for First Baptist Church of Merritt Island. There's a section for Merritt Assembly of God. There's a section for East Coast Christian Center. There is a section for River of Life Assembly of God. There's a section for Destiny Christian Center. And plug any Bible-believing church in there, and all of us can function in unity, though distinct, in God's hand for God's purpose. That's what it means to to be in one accord. So Paul had asked the question, what accord has Christ, the anointed one of God, who delights to do the will of God, who says, not my will, but your will be done? What fellowship, what accord is there with that, with the creator or with the creation that rebelled against God, was not content with his placement that God had given to him, said, I'm going to show God, I'm going to rise up, I will be like him myself if I have to overthrow him to do it. Where is the accord there? Where is the unity there? There isn't any. So whenever you see the bumper sticker, there's a couple of them out there. One of them says coexist, and one of them says tolerance, and they all sound all mushy gushy and wonderful. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine about that, and he said, yeah, everybody thinks that they're all the same until you realize that one of them's trying to kill all the others. You know what I'm not trying to do? I'm not trying to eliminate from the discussion anybody. I'm trying to win everybody I can to Jesus, not by force, not by coercion, but by being moved with compassion, being moved in faith, being moved in love, being moved by the word of God. And so there, Paul once again here shows that there is a distinction, there is an incompatibility, not just between light and darkness, but between people who are worshiping Jesus Christ and those who are worshiping other deities. They don't mesh well. It creates a cacophony instead of a symphony. I believe that we should all put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because the Bible says no one comes to the Father except for in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Those are the words of Jesus. Anybody who believes those words, I can be in accord with. People who don't believe that, I want to show them that they too could have the same blessing of fellowship that you and I already know about. God bless you. Have a great and glorious Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow right here on The Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.